Let's close our eyes. Within the next few minutes, I want you to wear the cap of the Lord God of Elijah, who is able to fight any battle. I want you to pray from your heart and confront your confronters. Say, "Oh God, arise and confuse my enemies." Listen, they drag a woman to court in the UK because they said she has one problem, she has the other. They were going to throw her out of the country, but she prayed this prayer. She called me on the phone. We prayed the same prayer. When she arrived in the court that morning, the government lawyer who was supposed to ask her questions, the first thing that was that he got her name wrong. Somebody is Mary. You call her Josephine. The judge said, "Are you addressing the same person here?" Say, "Her name is not Josephine, it's Mary." The man said it's Josephine. Judge said it's Mary. "Okay, madam, what's your name?" Say, "My name is Mary." Confusion. The sister never answered one question in that court. It was the judge and the prosecutor who were arguing throughout. Amen. And after the argument, the judge said, "Case dismissed, go. You are set free." And the woman was given all the papers she needed. Oh God, arise and confuse my enemies. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare. That's right. Masekapala katanda rabosanda. Confuse my enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Let there be silence. I say, sister, here, the enemy arranged a chain around your waist. And anytime you are doing your menstrual period, there is terrible pain around that waist. Right there where you are, the power of God is coming upon you. And the yoke of that chain upon the waist is broken now. Amen. That's the person over there. Yes, that's the chain. It's broken to pieces. The power's coming to scratch your body in the night. And you wake up with scratches all over your body. Whatever is connecting with that power is broken now in the name of Jesus. That's the person over there. The power of God is coming upon you. Yes. The power that used to go ahead of you to confuse your opportunities. Those powers have been canceled now. That's right. And I have a word for somebody here. Your stubborn opposers, they shall fight it out. And the Lord shall set you free. He shall set you free. He shall set you free. In the name of Jesus. As many people as are here this morning, and your virtues have been withdrawn in your dreams, the power of God is coming upon you where you are. And that yoke is broken now. That's the first person. That's the second person. That's number three. Number four. Number five. That's right. Number six. You can't continue to harass this person. That's number seven. The powers that have been closing good roads before you, those powers have been scattered now in the name of Jesus. That's right. Uh-huh. Say, "Oh God of Elijah, arise and let my problems die." In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for a time like this. And we thank you because you are our rock, you are our strength. We thank you because there is none like unto you. You are glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and you do wonders. Father, thank you because no one is here this morning by chance. Those you brought here, you brought them here by divine appointment. Father, I pray right now that everyone gathered here this morning shall be candidates of uncommon testimonies. The Lord your God shall arise, and all your enemies shall be scattered. As many people as are here this morning, and you are facing one challenge or the other, and the enemy is trying to mock you, by the power that establishes the heavens and the earth, by the power that defeated Goliath, by the power that sank Pharaoh in the Red Sea, receive your breakthroughs now. In the name of Jesus. By this time next week, become a candidate of mighty testimonies. In the name of Jesus. To you, Father, be the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'd like you to walk up to seven persons and prophesy unto their life. Say, my friend, you shall rise by fire, and your star shall shine in the name of Jesus. Say it to seven persons. Amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You will do yourself a world of good by listening to me very carefully this morning. Because you may not get somebody who will tell you what I'm going to tell you now again. So you better listen very, very carefully. For the next few minutes, I want to look at what I call the dustbin of the Almighty. The dustbin of the Almighty. And listen very, very carefully. The dustbin of the Almighty. Does God have a dustbin? Yes, he does. What does he put there? He puts there things that are unfit for him. A mighty dustbin. I'm planning one of these days to bring somebody here to talk to you. I'm prayerfully still trying to locate him. The name is Brother David Ucheme. David Ucheme was in church that morning. Somebody was speaking English. David Ucheme was translating to Udoma language. Was speaking another language to make the people understand what they were saying. All of a sudden, while the sermon was going on, Brother David Ucheme fell down. And before you could say Jesus is Lord, there was tragedy. He died right there. There was pandemonium in the church. They prayed. David Ucheme did not come back to life. Somebody laid on top of him like Elijah. He still did not come back to life. So they took David Ucheme. The doctor in the church confirmed David Ucheme dead. And they took David Ucheme to the General Hospital in Lagos here. The mortuary. Dead. That was on Sunday. On Thursday, they were to collect his corpse for burial. Brother David Ucheme. But by the time they got to the mortuary, as they brought the body out, they found that tears were coming out of the eyes of this dead person. So they were a bit alarmed. They waited. After some time, the face began to twitch. After some time, David Ucheme opened his eyes. For 4 days, he didn't eat. Couldn't eat. He was trying to recover. Anytime they brought him food, he would eat the food and say, "This is sand. This is sand." And it was like that. After some time, Ucheme recovered. He abandoned his work And he went about preaching the gospel about what he saw in the 4 days that he died. Let me tell you what Jimmy saw. He said, immediately he fell down. He could see his lifeless body on the floor. He could see that he came out of that lifeless body. He was looking at his own body like this, right inside the church there. And on the spot, he was whisked away by a wind that he didn't understand. And as the wind whisked him away, said he found himself in a narrow pathway. Very narrow. So narrow, you can only put one step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. But beside that narrow way, there was a large, broad way. Really large. And plenty of people were just going into that narrow road. But at the end of that road, there was a large hole in which they were falling. But he saw this narrow pathway. It was so narrow, he said he was following it one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. Eventually, they got to the top of a mountain. And there, an angel of God was standing. He met some people on the queue when he got there. The angel of God had something like the size of a shoe polish. Not that circular shoe polish in his hand, but it was like a TV set. Immediately you arrive there and they say, what is your name? Everything you have done in your life. Beginning from when you were a baby will show on that set, on that screen. And they were seeing their lifestyle. Some people will say, excuse me, don't show me again, please don't show me again, don't show me, because all the time they were stealing meat from the pot was seen. All the time they were very little girls, small boys, small girls, they were testing their own sexual organ was shown. Yeah. All the incest was shown. All the secret that nobody knew, that was secretly done, were being shown there. On that thing. Some people say, please, switch it off. I don't want to see this. They'll show everything. So one by one, they were showing these things. Then was one person to Brother Uchemi. And they said, you're a choir master? He said, yes, sir. Which church? He mentioned the church. I won't mention the church here. So, and you're a child of God? He said, yes. They showed him the screen of his life. He was alarmed. He thought certain things were covered for good. When he hid some paper in his pocket and took it to the exam hall and was copying from it, he was seen there. And they said, well, all these ones that we have shown you, you have already asked God to forgive you, so we won't reckon with those ones. So, but what is in your pocket? He put his hand in his pocket, he brought that cigarette. And they said, well, since you call yourself a child of God, why do you have these things in your pocket? Say, I'm sorry. Say, the devil deceived me. Say, devil deceived you? Say, yes. Okay, you wait here. Lucifer! Come. I said, the devil appeared. All the picture they give us, devil is black. He has on. It's not so. Beautiful creature. You know, the Bible calls it the son of the morning. What a beautiful creature. He came. And said, yes. Say, this man, say, you deceive him. Devil said, I deceive you. Say, have I met you before? Do you know me? Said, no. Was I the one that put it in your pocket? Said, no. Who bought it? Said, I did. Said, what do you mean by I deceive you? Sir, I didn't. What do you mean? Said, take him to hellfire. And he dragged the man away. Screaming. Drag him away. Threw him inside. It remained Brother Uchemi. As Uchemi was going to come forward, he now saw one sister who used to sing in their choir. Beautiful singer, roasting in hellfire. And this was the sister who prayed Uchemi into salvation. It was one that ministered to Uchemi, and Uchemi got born again and prayed for Uchemi to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But she died some years earlier than that. But when Uchemi now was looking, she found her in hellfire. It was at that level Uchemi began to cry. It was that cry, he cried to real life in the mortuary in Lagos. Here. God has a dustbin. The dustbin is hellfire. All those who are unfit for the standard of the Almighty, he puts them into that hellfire. Unfortunately, many in our present generation, they are playing right at the edge of that hellfire. Some already have one leg inside, as I'm talking to you now. If everyone should come down here now and Jesus comes and begins to separate us, those who are living right, those who are living wrong, you'd be amazed at the small percentage of those who are living the kind of life God wants them to live. I'm warning you now because I don't want anybody's blood on my neck. You won't say, the pastor did not tell us that this place is so terrible. That is what I'm trying to make you understand now. There was a robber in the U.S. It was so terrible that police feared him. Because he could shoot gun with two hands and it was very accurate. So nobody could arrest him. So they put poster outside. Wanted. Anybody who can arrest him. $10,000. $20,000. Anybody who can arrest him. Wanted dead or alive. That's what they wrote on his name. If you can produce his corpse, you get money. Produce him alive, you get money. It was so terrible. A terrible criminal. When he appears, police will run. One day, they went to rob a place. Listen to me carefully. They went to rob a place. And as he was trying to get away in his escape car, somebody dropped a piece of track, gospel track, into the car. He wanted to throw it out, but he just left it. When he got home, after some quiet time, he took the track and began to read. And the track was saying, "Now that you are here, where next?" He read it. And there he got worried in his spirit. So there is another world apart from this world where I'm still in. He slept that night. As he slept, he had a dream. An angel came to him and said, "Hello, you have an appointment. You must come with me to somewhere." And the angel took him. Came, and they went together. The angel, first of all, took him to hellfire. He saw people groaning in agony. He saw people shouting and screaming. He saw worms of fire going inside people and coming out. He saw the cry. He saw the tears. He held his head and said, "Take me away from here. I don't want to observe this thing again. Take me away." And the angel took him away. And then took him to heaven. He got to heaven. He saw the peace. He saw the music. He saw the beauty. Then he now asked the angel, said, "I don't want to go to that first place. This is where I want to be." The angel said, "Yes, you need to surrender your life to Jesus and change your evil ways." He said, "I promise you I will." And then he opened his eyes. He found that it was a dream. Quickly, he rose up and went to the police station himself. When the police saw him appearing, they ran. And he said, don't run. I'm a changed person. Don't run. I'm different now. Don't run. And he came and handed himself over to be jailed because he wanted to make heaven. I pray that all of you are hearing us here today, that you know fire. Close your eyes. Bow down your heads. Tell the Lord that anything in my life that would land me in hellfire, whether I like it or not, remove it from my life now. Talk to the Lord yourself. It will be a tragedy if you keep quiet here today. And it will be a tragedy if you allow the enemy to waste you. Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 13. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. There are two gates, wide and narrow. The narrow one doesn't give you room to do anything you want to do. It disciplines your life. The wide one, you can do anything you want to do. Doesn't make any difference, but it leads to hellfire. Jesus told us a story in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 from verse 19. Try and get your Bible there to Luke chapter 16 verse 19. We want to read it together. Jesus told us a story. A true story. If you are there, say yes.
Yes.
Okay. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was a rich man, was dressing well, and he ate very well every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That was the conclusion of their journeys on earth. Now, verse 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and set Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou tormented. And beside all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. He was a nice man. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if somebody went from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. When a person gets to hellfire like this rich man, there will be no excuses. Nobody will say God has been unfair to them when they arrive at that point. No one will say that God has given them a raw deal, because the Bible is there, the preachers are there, and you must read it. You cannot even blame your pastor now, because the pastor too will say, but you have your Bible. Why are you blaming me? You have Bible. The rich man prayed in hellfire, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The torment was so much that he cried for mercy, but unfortunately, the cry was too late. I've attended many meetings before with big men and small men where people refuse to pray. You call prayer point, they're not praying. We have had to try so hard to bring some people to attend prayer meetings. Some people, when they say prayer, they don't want to listen. But in that day, in hellfire, it will be the largest prayer meeting. Those who have never prayed will now be praying for water. They'll be praying for release. Once a person dies as a sinner, then you might have had your last sermon, but you have not prayed your last prayer. Say your last prayer, they say, if you die, enter fire, you're still going to pray there. But the prayer will be a useless prayer meeting. But the beauty of it is that you don't have to go there. You must not decide that you want to perish. What I'm saying today has nothing to do with whether I'm a pastor, I'm a chorister, I'm usher, whatever. There are ushers who are going to hellfire. There are pastors who are on their way to hellfire without any bus stop at the expressway. There are general overseers who are already in hellfire. In fact, the Bible says they have to expand hellfire to take more people. It has to be expanded because more and more people are coming day and night. A whole church can enter into hellfire. A whole nation can enter into hellfire. A whole family can enter into hellfire. A whole classroom can enter into hellfire. It doesn't bother him. Once he has given you Jesus, he has given you the Bible, you don't want to follow it, you're waiting for some extraordinary thing before you can live holy, you go to hellfire. You look at the faces of people at funerals, when somebody has died, and they want to bury them. Look at the faces of the people there. You can see the confusion in their faces. Even very clever, intelligent people, when they get to funerals, they are sober. Very, very sober. The preacher may say, he's gone to heaven. But God knows where the person has gone. Hell is worse than any picture anybody can paint of it for you. And if a person lands in hellfire, all the things you have missed there, you will be remembered. You may be remembering it. The murderer will remember the face of the victim. All the girls you disvirgin, you will see it. You will remember their names. All the sleeping around, you will see the various beds in which you have slept. The cheat will remember that he's cheated. All the thing that you think is hidden will be shown. But when a person lands in hellfire, there is no exit from hellfire. Even men and women in our world, when they see certain people behaving funny on the street, when somebody is running mad, they have a place they call asylum. They go and put them in the asylum so that they don't trouble those who are normal. That is, hellfire is God's asylum. To keep those who are insane spiritually, to keep them there. What a shame for somebody who has come to the house of God to find himself in hellfire. What a shame for somebody who sang up Jesus, down Satan, now landing at hellfire, and the devil said, but you were singing against us, now you are here. What a shame to have your name in the register of a church, but not in the book of life. And what a shame when the enemy is now rejoicing over a person. The enemy rejoiced over Samson. The Lord of the Philistines, when they put out the eyes of Samson and they began to rejoice, they celebrated Samson. It was a negative celebration. So one way or the other, everybody will be celebrated. Some will be celebrated positively, some will be celebrated negatively. The choice is now yours on what you want to do. One of our fathers in the Lord, in this country, said recently he had a dream. That in the dream, the great apostle Joseph Babaola, that you can call the father of Pentecostalism in Nigeria, he said he saw the man in the dream. And the man said, excuse me, sir. Are Christians no longer dying? The man said, they are dying. He said, but they are not coming to heaven there. Where are they going? He said, they are not coming there. The traffic here is so scanty. Are they no longer dying? He said, they are dying, sir. Every day we go to bury people at the cemetery. They are dying. Unfortunately, there is nothing that can be written on somebody's forehead to know who is next to die. And if you ever pay a visit to the mortuary, if you have the heart to go, tell them to bring out the corpses. When they bring out about 100 corpses, you find only one or two with gray hair. Most of them are with dark hair, those who are not expecting to die. I was coming to the headquarters one day. I was passing by this Atom Cemetery. I saw a friend of mine, a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I saw him at the front of the cemetery. So I came and I said, what are you doing here? I said, we came to bury a sister. Sister, how old? She said, 26. What happened? I said, typhoid fever and malaria. I said, typhoid fever in this modern world? She said, has killed her? I said, yes, that's it. The journey of that sister was over. This are the hard facts. If Ocheme was here today, that fellow, by now would have started crying. Because now, having seen it physically, he tries to beg people, please, please, I beg you, don't go to that place. Go to a better place. I remember the first time God took me to heaven. I was preparing for my school certificate exam. I was on my bed and I saw heaven. Oh my goodness. I have never seen such beauty in my life. Is it the garden? Is it the houses? Is it the music? There's no music here. No music in this place. I got there. Wow. I saw these people. Angels. There are many things that I saw that day. But one thing I will never forget in my life is the joy on their faces. I can never forget that. The joy on their faces. So when I saw it, I wanted to come inside. I was an angel. I just said, no. You can't come here. Not time yet. You can't come. When I opened my eyes and I found myself on my bed, I was sad. Sir, what am I doing here? Going to face examination. I was sad. Let me give you some hard facts about hellfire. Number one, There is a place known as hellfire. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 49. I say place. It is a place. It doesn't exist in the imagination. It is a place. It's called hellfire. Matthew 13, 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The first fact is that there is a place, a physical place, called hellfire. Two, God prepared hellfire for the devil and his angels. That is, you are not supposed to go there. Matthew 25, 41. Matthew 25, 41 tells us, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the hellfire was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. So anybody who gets there is a trespasser. Matthew 25, 41. Hellfire was prepared for the devil and his angels. Not for you, not for me. So anybody who gets there is just a trespasser. You've decided to trespass. Fact number three. The devil wants everyone to go to hellfire. Everyone. He's working hard to see that everyone goes there. It is you who will say, no, I am not your candidate. I will not go. The devil wants everyone to go to hellfire. Fact number four. Man will sentence himself to hell. It's a man that will sentence himself to hell. God will not stand in judgment, but you will sentence yourself there, because there is nothing hidden before God. You sentence yourself to hell. Fact number five. Hellfire is a place worth giving your arms, your legs, and your eyes to avoid. It's a place worth giving your arms, your legs, and your eyes to avoid. Jesus said, if your eye will make you to miss heaven, say, take it out. So it's better to enter into heaven without eyes than to have two eyes and enter into hellfire. So if your leg will keep you from going to heaven, say, cut it. Cut it. It's better for you to enter into heaven without legs than to walk there with your two legs into hellfire. So if your hand will make you to go into hellfire, say, cut it. It's better for you to enter into heaven with one hand than to have two hands and enter into hellfire. So hellfire is a place that it is worth giving your arms, your legs, and your eyes to avoid it. The suffering is so terrible that it's better to just, if it's the hand, cut it off, take it away. It's better to cut those things off than you avoid it. Here am I now. If I stand there now, I say, well, as the general overseer of the Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry, the consular to the American Embassy is my personal friend. The consular to the United Kingdom Embassy is my personal friend. And I want anybody here who wants visas to US, who wants visa to UK, should come forward. I'm sure this altar will be full. But if I now say, okay, the condition for you to get the visa is you lose one eye. Or I cut off your right hand or your left leg. You see that everybody go back to their seat. Because you say, because I want to go to America, doesn't say I should have one eye or one leg. But the Bible says hellfire is a place. You should say, take the hand away, take the legs away. I don't want to enter in. Just take it away. That's fact number five. Fact number six. Hell is more terrible than language can express. Hell is more terrible than language can express. Language, you can't describe it. The only person who tried to describe it was Jesus, because he didn't want us to go there. Fact number seven. Hell is a place of tormenting fire. Hell is a place of tormenting fire. The other time there was an accident. It's very sad. The man was driving a car. He tried to jump out of his car, but the trailer fell on him. So the trailer was on his two legs. The top of his body was outside. Unfortunately, the trailer caught fire. So, and he was screaming, "Please help me, help me, help me." But the people who wanted to help, number one, they are not strong enough to leave the trailer. Number two, the fire that was burning was chasing them away. So the man was saying, "Please, somebody should take a knife, cut off these legs so that you can take me out." And nobody, how can you take cutlass and begin to cut out the leg of a living person on the streets? So nobody could do. Say, "Please, take something, cut off these legs and pull me out." They couldn't do it. And they watched him roast to death. Fire is a terrible thing. If you pour hot water on your body, you know what? The pain. If somebody has escaped from a fire accident, you can see the pain. So for somebody's whole body, soul, and spirit to now be thrown into hellfire and burning, not for 1 minute, not for 2 minutes, not for 1 year, not for 3 years, forever. It's not something you joke with. It's not something you joke with at all. I want you to understand this very well. Number 8. The most terrifying aspect of hellfire is that it will last forever. The most terrifying aspect of hellfire is that it will last forever. It won't stop just 2 minutes and give you rest. It lasts forever. Point number 9. Jesus spoke about heaven only once, but he spoke about hell 11 times. Jesus spoke about heaven only once, but he spoke about hell 11 times. What did I say just now? Eleven times. Meaning that it's trying to warn us not to go there. 10. The saddest thing about hellfire is that you do not have to go there. The saddest thing about hellfire is that you do not have to go there. That's fact number 10. You don't have to go. You have to make up your mind that I will not be a candidate of hellfire. 11. One thing that is worse than going to hellfire. One thing that is worse than going to hellfire is going to hellfire and taking somebody else with you. One thing that is worse than going to hellfire is going to hellfire and taking somebody else with you. Perhaps you are here. You were the one that introduced some people to sex. Now you did the introduction. Now the person cannot control himself or herself again. Or you introduce somebody to drugs. You introduce the person to some vices. Now you say you're on your way to heaven. But those people that you have misled, they're on their way to hell. That's worse than going to hellfire. A lot of people will get to heaven and will still be crying there because they see their loved ones, their father, their mother, their brother in hellfire. Plenty of pastors will still cry because they will get to heaven and find out they can't find some of the people they preach to in that place. 12. Hellfire is one place where experience is not the best teacher. Hellfire is one place where experience is not the best teacher. In fact, all this saying about experience is best teacher, is not correct. The old Welsh proverb says, experience is the best teacher for a fool. The wise do not need it. That's the original saying. Experience is the best teacher for a fool. The wise do not need it. Experience is the fool's best teacher. The wise do not need it. Experience is actually not the best teacher. Experience only becomes the best teacher, a teacher, when you can experience it and come out alive. If you take a vehicle now, you say, I want to know I want to experience how to drive 120 miles per hour around a corner. You may not live to gain any benefit from that experience. But I've died there. So once a person gets into hellfire, that's it. It's finished. I'm praying for some people here today. Those of you who are here, who have seen pictures of heaven, who have seen the rapture, but you find that you are not going anywhere, I'm praying that God will deliver you. 13. There is only one way into hellfire, and there is no way out. Once a person enters, that's it. It's not coming out. One way in, no way 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 out. The gate of hell is the only gate that it can only allow people to enter. It doesn't allow anybody to come out. People have come out from heaven before and they went back to heaven. Jesus came from heaven. He went back to heaven. But once a person enters into hellfire, there is no gate to come out. There's only a gate to go inside. Point number 14. Hell is immediate after death. Immediately somebody dies, that's it. That's number 14. The Bible says, it's given unto man to die only once. After that, judgment. Immediately somebody closes his eye like this, you either go to heaven or hellfire. Two places. There is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. Like they teach you some churches, that somewhere you stay and confess your sin and then they will transfer you somewhere else. No. Immediately you die. That's it. It's given unto man to die only once. After that, judgment. Hell is immediate upon death. So the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus. He said, please let him put water in my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. 15. Hellfire is characterized by pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. Hellfire is characterized by pain and suffering. It's better not to even try to go there to see what they are talking about. Fact number 16. God does not mind turning a whole nation into hellfire. It doesn't bother him. Does not mind at all. Turning a whole nation into hellfire. You say, why is that in the Bible? It's in Psalm 9. It's in Psalm 9. Psalm 9 verse 17. Psalm 9 verse 17 has this to say. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Psalm 9, 17. And all the nations that forget God. So God doesn't mind. He will turn the whole nation into hellfire. Fact number 17. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. Out of the 260 chapters, 230 substantiate the fact that there is hell. Out of 260 chapters in the New Testament, 230 chapters substantiates the fact that there is hellfire. So it's not a joking matter. A person may be laughing when he's going to hellfire, but when he gets inside, he won't laugh again. All the laughing will cease completely. 18. Hellfire is a place of darkness. Dark. 19. Hellfire is a place of constant fatigue. The person will be constantly tired, screaming and screaming and screaming. 20. Hellfire is also called the bottomless pit. It's like somebody is in the lift that is not stopping. You know, if you get into an elevator, and the thing is just moving, moving, moving. It's not stopping. As if somebody will never hit the bottom. It's called the bottomless pit. Hellfire is that kind of place. 21. Hellfire is a place of worms, fire worms that be entering to the body, wriggling worms. The Bible says the worms die not. They just move up and down into the person's body. How many things have I told you now? Number 22. Hellfire is a place of bitter memory. Bitter memory. You just be remembering all the opportunities you had, the time they preached to you, the time you read your Bible, the time you listened to all the sermons that your father, you didn't listen to, will be replaying. And the replaying of this thing will cause more torment for the person. 23. Hellfire is a place of gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. There are only two reasons why people gnash their teeth. It's during pain and during anger. Gnash their teeth. The teeth will be vibrating together. Hellfire, a place of gnashing of teeth. 24. Hellfire is a place of weeping and wailing. A lot of weeping, a lot of wailing. A weeping and wailing. 25. Hellfire is a place of no hope. Once a person gets there, all hope of salvation is lost. Lost completely. 26. Many so-called Christians are living at the edge of hellfire now. And only a small push will get the person there. That's number 26. 27. Hellfire is a place where you will never get used to the pain. And sometimes when pain is too much, a person gets used to that pain, but nobody gets used to the pain of fire. It's not possible. 28. Hellfire is a place of unsatisfied thirst. The person will be thirsty internally, eternally. You thirst and thirst. The thirst will be so much, you will pray for one drop of water, the drop of water will not arrive. 29. Hellfire is a place filled with unimaginable fear because you don't really know what's going to happen next. Unimaginable fear. 30. Hellfire is a place of eternal association with the wicked. All the wicked people that have died, Adolf Hitler, all those terrible people, witches, wizards, that's where they are gathered. It's a place not to go at all. A place of eternal association with the wicked. When God begins to call his people and his people do not open their ears, he will put them in that dustbin called hellfire. How many things have we said now? 30. Listen to me very carefully. Hellfire, 31, is a place of eternal separation from God. You are separated from God forever. No chance again of surrendering your life to Jesus. No sign again, no time again to pray or to say that you want to consecrate your life. It will be too late. 32, hellfire is a place of eternal death. The person is now completely dead. Dead eternally. 33, hellfire is a place of unspeakable sorrow. Sorrow. Person will be sorrowful, sad, and you'll be wondering, why did I get myself here? 33. Hellfire is a place of 34. Hellfire is a place of horrible sound. No light, no liquid, no laughter. Horrible sound. The kind of sound people don't want to hear at all. That's the kind of sound somebody hears in hellfire. I pray that you will not go there. Amen. 35. There is a large mass of people in hellfire already. That's why it has to be expanded. The hellfire was not an original part of God's creation. God created everything good. But since men decide to rebel against God, that kind of place had to be constructed as an asylum, as a dustbin, to put those who will not listen to the Almighty. 36. Hellfire is a place of restlessness. You can't rest. How can you rest when fire is burning? A place of restlessness. 37, hellfire is a place devoid of mercy. There's no mercy again. Once the person gets that, the anger of God will be poured out undiluted. 38. Hellfire is a place of destruction. 39. Hellfire is a place of undiluted anger of God. 40. Hellfire is a place where people will pray, but the prayer will be to no avail. They will pray, the prayer will not be answered. They will pray, the prayer will not be answered. They will cry in prayer. The atheist will pray. The sinner will pray. The adulterer will pray. The fornicator will pray. The sex offender will pray. The drug addict will pray. The sorcerer will pray. The liar will pray. The thief will pray. They will all pray in hellfire, but it will be too late. So in that kind of place, you have this screaming group, those who will be screaming. You have the crying group. You have the groaning and gnashing of teeth group. It's not good to belong to any of those things. 41. Hellfire is a place of frustration and anger. A place of frustration and anger. 42. Hellfire is a place of where the smell of death will be bombarding your nostrils forever. The smell of death will be bombarding the person's nose forever. 44. Hellfire is not a story. 43. Hellfire is not a story made up to scare you into being good. No, it's not a story. It's a real place. It's not a story. Some people think it's just a story to scare people. No, no. It's a real place. There was one doctor in America who was an atheist. He didn't used to believe in God until one day it was the man is a specialist at reviving those who have heart attack. He was trying to revive a man. He said, but the name of the doctor, I think is Dr. Rollins or so, was trying to revive a man. And as he was trying to revive that man, he found that any time the man is revived and the man opens his eye, the man will scream, please, sir. Please, sir. Don't let me go back to that hellfire. Please, sir, help me. So the man would be struggling. Sometimes he will lose the man. The man dies again. Then he will try to revive him. Each time he revived the man, you could see the pain, the anguish in his eye, crying, sir, please, stop. Let me not go back to that place. That's what made this doctor to now begin to believe that there is actually a place called hellfire, where there is no laughter, no love, no light, no life. 44. Most of the people in hell now did not expect to get there. Good churchgoers, good parents, Christian home, prayer in the morning, prayer in the evening, but now they're in hellfire. 45. This surest pathway to hellfire is gradualness. Gradually, the person is going away from God. You are not careful. Gradually, you are not praying again. Gradually, you are not reading your Bible. Gradually, you are not doing things that you ought to do that will make your life good. Gradually, you are losing touch with God. And as you lose touch, gradually, the person is heading towards hellfire. When your prayer life is going down, hellfire is coming up. When you are supposed to witness, you can't witness, hellfire is coming up. So it's gradual. Nobody gets there just like that. Gradually, the thing will have built up until it becomes a very, very serious problem. Nobody backslides suddenly. No, it's gradually. Little by little. Little by little. The fire will be coming down. The fire will be coming down until the fire is completely gone. I pray once again that nobody here will go there. 46. Your destination when you die is determined by your life here on earth. Your destination when you die is determined by your life here on earth. So the kind of life you live will determine where you are going to. 47. Hell has a big mouth and it swallows. It has a very big mouth. It swallows. 49, 48. Hell is a place constantly expanded to take more people. You find that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 14. Constantly expanded to take more people. And 49. Hell is a place where people beg for a drop of water. They beg, please put water on this tongue. Put water on this tongue. They beg for a drop of water. And 50. Hell is a place where there is no big man. There is no big man. That's no respect for anybody. There is no big man. There are people who have to pray seriously today because one leg is already in that hellfire. The other leg is just coming to church. There are people who believe they have boyfriend, whereas you don't have a boyfriend. What you have is a sinner friend who is just preparing you for hellfire like a Christmas goat. And you know, this is August now. If you want to, if somebody gives you a goat now and you want to kill it on Christmas Day, you have to start feeding the goat. You feed the goat in August, the goat will be happy dancing, think there is no problem. Feed the goat in September, feed the goat in October, feed the goat in November. It's only in December the reality will come to the goat that, well, it's been prepared for something. This is how the devil prepares people for hellfire. He will prepare them for hellfire until it completely messes them up. Beauty is vain. Handsomeness is nothing. All those things don't do anything positive to your life. It is better to die a pauper. You die without one kobo in your pocket and make heaven than for you to have plenty of money but you go to hellfire. Because eventually at the end of the day, eternity has no mileage. Eternity has no calculation. If you send an ant from here to pick one grain of sand from this youth church now and take it to the bar beach in Lagos, or you send that ant to go to the bar beach in Lagos and you ask the ant to be bringing one grain of sand back to the youth church here, the time it will take that ant to pick all the sand that is in bar beach, one single one, and transfer it to this place, eternity is longer than that. So why should somebody, because of 5 minutes of enjoyment, 5 minutes of kissing somebody, 5 minutes of throwing open your skirt or your trouser, you now land in hellfire completely. And then you waste the whole of your destiny. You waste the whole of your life. You arrive at the gate of life. They say, what are you doing here? I say, but I'm a member of this, that. I say, okay, you're welcome. I say, I want to enter into heaven. I say, but you can't enter here because these are the things that you can find in your pocket. I say, but I know somebody is always worse than that. I say, no, face your own matter. Face your own matter. It's your own. You should face. So you can't enter into this place. Sorry. You can't enter into this place. It's too late. Say, but I sang, I prayed for people, I prophesied. Say, well, I'm sorry. I don't know you. So get away from me, you workers of iniquity. It will be a terrible thing to hear that kind of instruction. Who are those who will go to hellfire? The rich man in the Bible was dressing well. Did he go to hellfire because he was dressing well? No. The rich man was eating very good food every day. Did he go to hellfire because he was eating good food? No, the food does not take you to hellfire. The rich man did not look after Lazarus. Did he go to hellfire because he didn't look after Lazarus? No, that was not the problem. He went to hellfire because he said no to Jesus. Everything Father Abraham said, say no, Father Abraham, no. He said, we can't get to you. Say no. We can't send your brother. Say no. The no, you've been sent to the Holy Spirit, will be sent to Jesus, is what will land the person in hellfire. I want you to understand this very, very well. This is a very, very serious matter. And I want you to think about it and be sure that before you leave this place today, you know where you are going. If you leave this place, I don't know where you are going, you may not have any other opportunity. Judgment will find you the way death finds you. And death has no respect for anybody's age, whether you are young or old, doesn't matter. A lot of young people are dying every day. Look at the newspapers. And most of them land themselves into hellfire. A while ago, some scientists, they were digging into the earth. the dog miles and miles and miles and miles into the earth. At the center of the earth, the temperature is terrible. And the Bible says hellfire is beneath the earth. High temperature in that place. The men were digging. At a stage, they could not dig anymore because they were hearing noises. Noises. Terrible noises. So they had to drop in a microphone to record these things almost 120 miles or more down into the center of the earth. There, you find voices of men and women that they have preached to in life. They did not listen. They come to church just to socialize. They're not interested in what the preacher is saying. They are more interested in their sinful way. They want to continue living rough life and think one way or the other they just get into heaven by chance. No, nobody gets to heaven by chance. You can't get to heaven by mistake. You must take some step. There were their voices, voices of such people. You are going to listen to a CD now of what those scientists recorded right from the pit of hellfire. Let's play it as CD, whoever has the CD. Listen to what they recorded from the bottom of the earth. That was recorded, the microphone dropped into the center of the earth. Rise up on your feet now. All eyes closed. If you are here this morning and you are not born again and you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, wherever you are, don't waste time because we have prayers to pray. But if you are here, you say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I don't want to end up in hell. I just find a way to the altar very quickly from where you are. Those of you at the front, I congratulate you. Just bow down your head. Say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Beginning from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Lord Jesus, accept me. Write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. I pray, oh Lord, that the decision they've taken today will be permanent in their lives. That you will write their names in the book of life. And it shall be well with you. Today that you have come here, the enemy will not harvest your life. The power of God will book you down for great breakthroughs. In Jesus' name. Those of you at the front, open your eyes, look at me. You've taken the most important decision in life, and I want to help you further. Immediately we close, just in a few minutes now, just find a way back here to the front. And make sure you give me your data, because I want to be praying for you by name, and I want to be sure that God continues to sustain you. You go back to your seat. God bless you as you do so. The rest of us, listen to me carefully, beloved. If you are here this morning and you discover that right now you are a backsliding Christian, you're backslided. You are not in the fire God wants you to be. You are not where God is putting you. You are playing with sin. And heaven is moving farther and farther away from you. If you are here like that, please just get on your knees. Don't deceive yourself. Just get on your knees. Get on your knees. Get on your knees where you are. Get on your knees. And begin to talk to the Lord. Say, my Father, have mercy on me. Deliver me now. Begin to talk to the Lord now, where you are. Confess those sins to the Lord. This is not a day to joke. This is not a day to keep quiet. Confess those sins before the Lord. Say, Father, I'm here. Have mercy on me. I can't continue like this. I can't continue like this. I don't want to be a candidate of hellfire. So have mercy on me. Confess those sins to the Lord. Don't hide anything from the Almighty. There are people here today who have been close to heaven before, but now they are far. There are people here today, God wants to use them, but because they keep going in and out of sin, heaven is already saying bye-bye. Tell the Lord, I don't want to end up in the dustbin of the Almighty. I want to make heaven. All the cleverly concealed sin, all the sin that you think nobody can see, the Almighty sees them. And unless you break yourself loose from them, you will eventually end up in hellfire. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, ere my humble crown. Why on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, in my humble crown, why on others thou art calling, do not pass me. The Savior is passing by now. Masekatenda kaya boshendera bokontia. Really, Katunda sente kayabo shendera bakantia. Amen. Those cleverly concealed sin, the masturbation, the taking of drugs to prevent pregnancy, the secret abortions, they now seize you. There's no point in deceiving yourself. No point in deceiving yourself. No point in making yourself a candidate of the dustbin of the Almighty. The Lord sees you inside out. Rise up on your feet. As many people as are here this morning, you used to see the picture of heaven before, but now you don't see heaven anymore. You used to hear God very clearly. Now your clearing is deaf. You have seen the rapture before, but you didn't make that rapture. You used to feel his presence in those days. The presence now seems to have disappeared. Please, just find a way to this altar and be on your knees if you're in that category. Be on your knees. And I want you to pray the way you've never prayed before. There is no point in coming here and going home with a plastic experience. You used to feel heaven. The feeling of heaven is gone. You used to be close to God. The closeness is gone. You used to see revelation. No revelation anymore. You used to hear voices from heaven. No voices again. The Lord used to talk to you. Now, it's as everywhere has gone deaf and dumb. You see the rapture and you see heavens, but you find that you did not participate. Just find a way to the altar. Be on your knees. I want you to cry to heavens with your loudest voice. I want you to cry to heaven for mercy. I want you to cry to heavens until you feel the touch of heaven upon your soul here this morning. Because this is not a day to joke or throw away your destiny even more. Many have already thrown away their destinies. There's no point in losing that destiny forever. You will shout this loud and clear. My Father, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and talk to the Father. Pia satalia. Daraka sapola kaya bo shentaraba. Aha, 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 aha. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Riapo likatasa. Darabo kaponda kantayaba. The power of God, in the name of Jesus, move.
Masekaya boshendera bosotonda kayaba. Ribosopia le katara boshente yaba. Amen. One more time, you are going to raise up your voices. When the prophet is becoming a parrot, then there is a problem. You will shout like this. Every power of hellfire assigned against my life. Die in the name of Jesus. Piata Santa Kayaba. Yes, yes. Open your mouth and pray, open your mouth and pray. Don't negotiate. This is not a day to negotiate. Cry to heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I thank you for this, your children at the altar. Father, I ask for mercy for this, your children here at the altar. Many of them have disappointed heavens, but what we ask for now is mercy from your throne. Father, have mercy. Those who are supposed to be mountain movers, but sin has caged them, let them be delivered now. Amen. Those that you have set up to change their family history, but because of sin and iniquity, they put their family into more mess. Father, forgive them. Amen. Power for a new beginning. Let it come upon your children here. Receive it now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. All the gifts of heaven that you had before that have disappeared from your life, repossess it now. Let the anointing of the prophets come upon your life now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go back to your seat now with a firm decision that you are going to remain straight with God. All eyes closed. Don't open your eyes. If I ask you not to open your eyes, all eyes closed. As many people as are in this gathering now, and you know you have been completely caged by sexual immorality. The bondage of sex has held you. You have tried to break free so many times, you find yourself falling back in. Run quickly to the altar here and be on your knees. The bondage of sex has held you tight. Sex in your heart, physical sex, lust in the heart has caged you so much. Just find a way to the altar here. Be on your knees. Cry to heavens the way you've never cried before, because it will be a tragedy if the issue of sex, lust, your heart pushes you away from your God. Everybody will shout this prayer loud and clear. Those of you at the front, pray like a mad prophet. Pray the way you have never prayed before. Let everyone say this loud and clear. Every yoke of hellfire in my heart, break in the name of Jesus. Break in Jesus' name we pray. Lay your hands on your tummy, your belly. Lay your hands there now and just keep it there. Don't say anything, just keep it there. Father, I stand there as a servant and I decree now, every serpent and scorpion of sexual perversion, every serpent and scorpion of immorality, every agenda of darkness, I
that has entered into anybody's blood, anybody's heart, anybody's womb, right there where they are, let your hand fall upon their hands and begin to remove from each person right now in the name which is above all names. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, let those serpents of darkness begin to move out, out, out. The one that has entered through the mouth, the one that has entered through the breast, the one that has entered through the womb, the one that has entered through the reproductive organs, let your fire push them out, 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 in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy is using to keep you in bondage, let them be broken to pieces now in the name of Jesus. Beginning from today, the hold of iniquity upon your life is broken to pieces. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. May go back to your seat now. The hand of God has come mightily and mightily upon you. Mightily and mightily upon you. All eyes closed. If you are in this meeting today and the enemy is already introducing drugs to your life, you've already started taking things like Indian hemp and drugs you should not take, and you desire deliverance, run quickly to the altar and be on your knees. To stay where you are without coming out means you want to remain in your bondage. I give you just a few minutes to do that very quickly. Just run quickly to the altar. You know, the enemy is trying to cajole you with drugs. You already started smoking things and doing things you should not do. Run to the altar very, very quickly now. You have just a few seconds to do so, so that the Lord can deliver you today. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. This is not a time to joke. This is not a time to deceive yourself. This is not a time to say this is what is happening to another person. This is your life now. Every power assigned to terminate my destiny. In the name of Jesus. Power of God fall upon these ones. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Masekaya Boshendera Bosanta.